Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Amud Aleph by the two dots. Haimu Bar Yonai, the Havu Bishibutei the Rebbe Meir. There were these pritzim, uncouth, unpleasant individuals that were living in the neighborhood of Rebbe Meir. The Havu Kimitzaru Leituva, and they were causing him great difficulty or bothering him. Havu Kaboy Rebbe Meir Achme Aloi Kehechad Lamotu. The Meir was davening in order that they should die and they should no longer cause him any grief or problems. Amrle Bruria Devitu, his wife Bruria, spoke up and says, Ma datcha? What are you thinking? Mishum dichtiv, because the pasuk says, Itamu chataim min haaretz u'ashim odeinam, barchi nafshi et Hashem haluka. So itamu chataim, that Hashem will get rid or rid the world of these sinners. Miktiv chotim, is it written sinners? Rather, chataim tiv, the sins. So the explanation that Bruria is trying to offer here is that Hashem itamu chataim, he'll get rid of the sins from the world, not necessarily the sinners. Vo shafil the sefi dekra, go look at the latter half of that pasuk, and it says Rishayim od einam, that the Rishayim are no longer. Kevin itamu chataim, once you remove all the sins, naturally, or the outcome of that is Rishayim od einam, that the Rishayim are no longer there. Ella, what should you do? Bai rachme aloi, delahadru b'tshuva. Should daven on their behalf that they should do tshuva, urashonim odeinam, and then there won't be any more rishayim. Zibay rachme aloi, he did that, he followed the advice of his wife, Bruria, and he davened that they should be chozer b'tshuva, v'hadru b'tshuva, and sure enough, they were chozer b'tshuva. Now, just to point out, Rashi says here the difference between what Bruria is suggesting is that chataim k'tiv is with a patach, and karibay chataim with a chataf patach, so that means that it should be Yichla Yetzara. Now, truthfully, the Pasuk, if you look inside, it spells the word Chataim with a Dagesh in it. And Chataim with a Dagesh really refers to sinners and not the sin. Chataim, if the Tet did not have a Dagesh, a Tet Rafeh would mean sins. So Bruya's Drusha is not necessarily correct in the Diktuk of the Pasuk, because even though it says Chataim, Chataim with a Dagesh in it does refer to sinners and not sin. That's one issue with it. The Marsha also raises other issues with the Drusha as far as davening for someone to do tshuva or to have the mindset or framework to do tshuva. That's something that really needs to emanate or come out of the individual themselves. So it's hard to have you daven for someone else to do tshuva. It's really the individual themselves should daven in order to do tshuva, because if a person is potech a small crack, then Hashem is mesayeyem, helps them to go in the direction that they want. But they have to at least show some remorse. What you have to suggest over here is that the davening of Rabbi Meir was simply that they should have a refuah shleima. Different types of choli. There's choli aguf, and there's choli anefesh. And so just like by choli aguf, we daven on behalf of other individuals that choli aguf should be cured, so too by choli anefesh, things that cause a person to not necessarily follow in the ways of Torah or to do things that are not necessarily correct. So over there, we also daven for refuah, that they should have a cure to this spiritual malady. And once that malady has been cured, then they will then automatically come to the right mindset and bring themselves towards tshuva. So you have to say a similar idea over here, that davening for someone to do tshuva is the same way that we daven for a refuah shlema for a choleh. Same thing, cholia guf, we do for cholia nefesh, and that's true in general. When you say rifa'inu, many of the mefarshei tefillah say that you should have in mind not only those that are cholia guf, but also those that are cholia nefesh. Samalu ha'ut stuki lebruya. So this stuki was interacting with Bruya, the wife of Rabbi Meir, and he says, k'tiv, rani akara lo yalodo, the haftorah from Yeshaya Nundalit, the haftorah for Parshat Kiteitze, as well as Parshat Noach, and the parsha begins, you should sing out, O barren one, lo yalada, because you did not give birth. Shum lo yalada, Rani? Why should she sing because she didn't give birth? Why is that something to sing about? Samalei shtatya, shafil esevi dekra, you fool, look at the other half of the pasuk, the remainder of the pasuk is, Rani yakara lo yalada, pitzchi rina bitzali, lo chala ki rabim, b'nei shomema, mi b'nei b'nula amar Hashem. Because more plentiful are the children of destruction than those that are from the married one, Hashem says. Allegorically, it means that the children of Yerushalayim, of Israel, are greater in number than those that come or emanate from Edom. Elamaya akara lo yalodo. So then what does it mean that they are barren and did not give birth? Rani Knesset Yisrael, you, Knesset Yisrael, b'nei so should sing praise to Hashem and be in song. Shodomeh l'isha akara shalo yalodo banim l'geinom kavataychu. Because Bnei Yisrael don't give birth to children like you, meaning the Tzduki over here, that end up in Gehinom. So that's what it means, lo yalada. They don't give birth to inappropriate or unworthy children. They only give birth to worthy children. And that's what the song is about. The song is about both the fact that Bnei Yisrael do not give birth to children that warrant Gehinom, as well as the fact that they will exceed the Bnei Ashomima. Those that come from the destruction will outnumber and outlive those that are Bnei Beula. And so there is a positive side to this pasuk. So this Duki as Rabbi Bo, Tiv Mizmor David Bevarcho Mipnei Avshalom Min Tehilim Gimel, speaks about David praising Hashem when he was running away from Avshalom, Beno, his son, V'chtiv LeDavid Michtam Bevarcho Mipnei Shaul B'Me'ara. Then we have David saying when he's a praise to Hashem when he's running away from Shaul in the cave. So Hai Ma'ase Ave Bereisha. Which of these chronologically happened first? Michtei Ma'ase Shaul Ave Bereisha. That happened first. Lichto Bereisha should be written earlier. So why do you have about Avshalom and Tehilim Gimel? And then about Shaul, which was much earlier, and Tehilim Nun Zayin. You have a problem with it because you do not darshin juxtapositions, smuchim of parshiot. Ananda darshin and smuchim lo kashalan. We who are doresh smuchim when there is a juxtaposition, when it's out of chronological order, but there is sort of juxtaposition, we don't have any issue with that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan smuchim in a Torah minayin. How do you know in a Torah that juxtapositions are meaningful? Now it's interesting here. He says Mina Torah, and then he quotes a pasuk from Ktuvim. Shenemar Smuchim la'ad lo'olam asuyim be'emet v'yashar. So the Smuchim la'ad lo'olam are forever and ever. Asuyim be'emet v'yashar are made in truth and in righteousness. The drush or the homiletic view of this pasuk is Smuchim la'ad lo'olam asuyim. That Smuchim are forever. That the juxtapositions have meaning and bearing on the way that we look at the Torah. So lama nismicha parshat Avshalom, the parshat Gog u'Magog. So in Tehillim, parshat Avshalom is juxtaposed to the Tehillim that refers to latid lavo, the battle that will involve Gog u'Magog. So im yomar lecha adam klum yesh eved shemreid birabo. Is there such a concept, such a possibility that a servant will rebel against his master?
Meaning that a human being will rebel against God, like that which will happen in the battle of Gog u'Magog?
Avata omer lo, klum yesh ben shemreid baviv, do you find a son that rebels against his father? Elahavo, that's what happened. We know that Avshalom rebelled against his father. Hachanami avo. So too, that story about Gog u'Magog is not going to be so far-fetched, because in history we've had what you consider or might consider to be far-fetched. That has transpired. So too, this event that you might think is unusual or outlandish, nevertheless, it will take place just like the rebellion of the son of Shalom against his father David. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Mai Dichtiv Piyo Potcho B'Chokma B'Torat Chesed Alishona Kenegin Mi'amar Shlomo Mikra Zeh. Shlomo, when he said this in Eshet Chayil at the end of Mishlei, who is he speaking about? So Amro Lo Amro Elo Kenegin David Aviv. He was speaking about his father David Shadar B'Chimisha Olamim, who lived in five different worlds. V'Amar Shira, and in each one of those worlds he sang praise to Hashem. Dar B'Meimo, he lived in the womb of his mother, Vamar Shira Ashnemar, Barchi Navshi et Hashem, V'chol Kiravai et Shem Mikodesho. So they're darshaning that V'chol Kiravai, all of my innards, but in innards of my mother, meaning in my mother's womb, that's where Barchi Navshi et Hashem. I gave praise to Hashem, Yatzal Avir Olam, after he's born, V'nistakel B'kochavim Mazalot. He saw the constellations and the stars, Vamar Shira Ashnemar, Barchu Hashem Malachav, Giborei Koach, Osid Dvaro, Lishmoa B'kol Dvaro. Baruch Hashem Kol Tzivav, the Malachim and the Gurei Koach who do the bidding of Hashem and listen to His commands, and all the constellations and multitudes that listen to Hashem, Hashem should be praised for all of that. So here we have the second praise. Now Yanak Mishdei Mo, he nursed from his mother's breast. V'nistakel B'dadah, he looked up at his mother's breast. V'amar Shira, and then he sang praise as well. Shenemar Barchi Nafta Hashem V'al Tishkechi Kol Gimulav. So the Pashtura Pazuk is, my soul gives blessing to Hashem, and I will not forget, or Al Tishchi, don't forget, Kol Gmulav, all the benefits that He has provided. But over here, they're making the play on the word Ligmol, which is to wean. But Gmul, also here, is the provider. So the woman, or the mother, who is the provider, she nursed him, and he is saying praise for that. My Kol Gmulav, Amrabahu, Shasala Dadim Bim Kom Bina. What's Gmulav? They put the breasts in the place of Bina, next to the heart. Time am I? Why do they do this? I'm reviewed. They shall stack elbow makom erva. So they won't be in the place of erva, which would be inappropriate or unpleasant. Ramata amar they shall yinek me makom atinofet. Another possibility is that so you shouldn't nurse from a place that is not clean. Then Ramah b'mat paltan shel rishaim. He saw the downfall of rishaim. V'amar shirani sang praise. Shenemar itamu chataim min haaretz urishaim odinam barchinafti d'shem aladuka.
So here they're quoting the pasuk that we saw in Brui earlier, but again, chataim is with the negation, the tet, and therefore it's the sinners. So the sinners will be removed from the world, and there will no longer be any mishaim. My soul blesses Hashem. V'nistakel b'yom amita. And then this is the fifth one. He saw the day of death. V'amar shirah shenemar barchi nafshi et Hashem. Hashem elokai gadal t'mod. Hod v'hadar levashto. So they my mashma. How do you know that that pasuk is referencing the day of death? Yes, it says that my soul should give bracha, blessing to Hashem. My God, Gadaltamod, you are great. Hod v'adar davashta, you are cloaked in glory. But how do you know that's referring to Yom HaMitah? I'm a rabba bar shilo, I'm a seifa din yono. Because the latter part of that, Tehillim, says, Tastir panecha yibahelun, tosef rucham yigvaun. You will turn away your face, yibahelun, there will be desolation and confusion. So Seif Rucham, you will remove their spirit, Yigvon, and they will die. So you see that within this Perek Tehillim, we talk about the issue of death, or that if Hashem really controls us, and that if He removes our spirit, we will die. So therefore, the Barchi Nafshi is referencing that latter part of the Perek Tehillim that says that Hashem has the ability to remove our life. Rav Simi Bar Ukva, V'amri Lo Amar Ukva, V'shkiach Kameid Rav Shimon Pazi. He was regularly in front of Rav Shimon Pazi, Vavim Sadar Agadato Kamei, the Rav Shimon ben Levi. And he used to organize and go over the Drashot of the Agadato before Rav Shimon Levi. Amarle, my dichtiv. So he said to him, what is it written? Barchi Napshi Yad Hashem, V'chol Karavai Yad Shem Kodsho. What's meant by that pasuk? Amarle, Bo Resh Lo Mirat HaKodesh Baruch Hu, K'mirat Masar V'dam. The way Hashem interacts with the world is different than the way that a human does. Midat Masar V'dam Tzar Tzura Al Gabi Kotel. By a human being, when they draw an image on the wall, person, they draw this picture, a sketch on the wall, they're unable to give it life, to give it a soul, innards, intestines. Hashem's not like that. First of all, He creates an image within an image. The woman who bears the child has another image inside of her. And then Matil Baruch Neshama Kir Baim Bnei Me'ayim. Then He gives them both their spiritual and physical components. Ba'inu Damra Chana in Tfilat Chana. That's what meant by this pasuk. Ain Kadosh Kashem. There's no one as holy as Hashem. Ki Ain Biltecha. There is no one like you. Ve'ain Tzur Kelukenu. Hashem Shad of Tzur is there's no rock like you, Hashem. My Ain Tzur Kelukenu. Ain Tzayar Kelukenu. So they make a play on the word of Tzur not to be rock, but rather Tzayar, an artisan or a artist. My kein biltecha. What does it mean there's one like you? Amar Yehuda bar Manasseh, al tikra ki ein biltecha, ela ein lavlotecha. Don't say that there's no one like you, but rather ein lavlotecha. There's no one who wears you out. Shlok midat b'kodesh baruch hu, midat basar v'dam. Again, Hashem's interaction with the world is different than a human being. Midat basar v'dam, I say yadam mivalim oto. When it comes to a man, creations that the man makes, whether it's a stone, a building, anything else that they create, it outlives them. On the other hand, Hashem outlives all of His creations. The Gemara here is somewhat ambiguous as to who is speaking. It seems like Reb Simi Bar Ukva, Mar Ukva was one who posed the question to Reb Shimon Pazi or to Reb Shimon Levi, and this is how they responded. And now he's saying, no, that's not exactly what I meant. And then he goes on to mention something else, or it could be the other way around, which is Reb Yeshua ben Levi or Reb Shimon Pazi posed the question to Mar Ukva. And then this is Mar Ukva's answer, and then they said that that's not exactly what we meant. The question was something else. Mar Ukva or Reb Shimon Pazi responded and gave the answer that we just said, that the pasuk of Barchi Nafshi Hashem Chol Kiravai Yishem Kodesho is speaking of a praise of Hashem about His ability to create that humans don't have. So Amalei Ana Hachi Kamin Alecha. I was asking you a different question. You answered the question what that pasuk means. That wasn't the question that I was really posing. Reb Yeshua ben Levi says this is what I meant. Kani Chamisha Barchi Nafshi Kenegin Mi Amram David. The five Barchi Nafshi Tehillim in relation to whom are they said by David. So Lo Amran El Kenedo Kodesh Baruch Hu Kenegin Neshama. He said them about Hashem and the Neshama. Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Malei Kol Olam Af Neshama Mleya Et Kol Aguf. Just like Hashem fills the entire world, so too the Neshama, the soul, fills the entire body. Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Re'eh Ve'enu Nireh. And just like Hashem sees but is not seen, Af Neshama Ro'ah Ve'enu Nireh. So too the Neshama sees but it's not seen. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Zanat Kol Olam Kulo. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains the whole world, Af Neshama Zanat Kol Aguf. So too the Neshama sustains the whole body. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Tahor. Just like Hashem is pure, Af Neshama Teora. So too the Neshama is Teora, is pure. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chadrei Chadrim. Just like Hashem is in the closed of all closed places, Af Neshama Yoshev B'Chadrei Chadrim. So too the Neshama is in the deepest of places. Yavo Mishi Yeshu Bo Chamisha Dvarim Alalu. V'Yishabeach Nami Yeshu Bo Chamisha Dvarim Alalu. And therefore it's appropriate that the Barchi Nafshi, that the Neshama, the Nefesh, comes and praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they are similar in nature. So that Neshama and Nefesh praises Hashem because they have common features to them, and therefore it's appropriate that the Nef Neshama is that which praises Hashem. Amar Rav Huna, my dichtiv, what is meant by the Pasuk? Mi kechacham umi yodea pesho davar. Who is like the wise one, and who knows the proper outcome? Mi kadosh baruch hu shiyodea lasot pshara ben shnei tzadikim. Who is like Hashem who knows how to make a compromise or bring together two tzadikim? Ben Chizkiyahu l'Yishayahu. Ben Chizkiyahu the Melech and Yishayahu the Navi. Chizkiyahu amar leiti Yishayahu gabai dehachi ashechan beliyahu. So Yahu says that Yishayahu should come to me. Proper kavod for the Navi to come to the Melech. Just like we find beliyahu and Navi. Dazal gabi Achav. Because he went to visit Achav. Eliyahu chases down Achav and he speaks to Achav. Achav doesn't go to Eliyahu. Yishayahu amar leiti Chizkiyahu gabai. Yishayahu on the other hand says that Chizkiyahu should come to me. Dehachi ashechan biyoram ben Achav. Because by Yehoram, Dazal Gabi Elisha, when he needed information, he went to the Navi Elisha. So Ma saw Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what does Kodesh do? A vi Yisurim al Chizkiyahu. He caused Chizkiyahu to be sick. V'amar lo Yishayahu lechu vakir et hachole. And then he told Yishayahu, go be mevakir cholim. Hashem created a situation which took down the heirs of the two individual and forced them to be together without any consideration of who's kavod or who's what's the proper etiquette in this situation. Shneimar. At that time, Chizkiyahu fell ill and he was going to die. Yishayahu the Navi comes to visit him. And now he gives him a message. Says, give your final will and testament to your family, because you are going to die from this sickness. You will not live. What does that mean? If he's dead, of course he's not going to live. Not only are you going to die in this world, you're going to die in the world to come. Chizkiyahu says, what did I do? What that I deserving of such a punishment? You did not procreate. You did not have children. I saw Beruach HaKodesh that I would have children that were not appropriate, and that we know is true. Chizkiyahu has a child, Minasheh. And Menashe is beyond all evil in terms of his worship of Avodah Zarah and leaving Hashem. And so we know that is the case, that what he saw in the future was true. So very famous line that Yishayahu says to Chizkiyahu, with the works of Hashem or the thoughts of Hashem, what are you doing? Your job is to carry out the mitzvot of Hashem. Your job is not to look into the future and then make decisions whether you keep the word of Hashem or don't keep the word of Hashem. Hashem takes care of the future. Your job is to do what you can and the best that you can in the situation that you're in. Whatever Hashem commands you to do, you must do. And what Hashem has to do, He'll take care of. Says, okay, Yishayahu, why don't you give me your daughter? And between this my zchut and your zchut, we will maybe have a child that is appropriate. Says, it's not worth doing that now, because Hashem already decreed that you're going to die, so you can't reverse it. Amalei ben amotz, kalei nevuatcha. It say, take your nevuah and run out of here. Kach mikulani beit avi abba. I have a mesora from my forefather's house, meaning from David HaMelech. Afilu cherib chada munechet al tzavro. Even if there's a sharp sword hanging over his neck, shaladam ayim naatz momin arachamim. They don't give up. You never give up. You ask for Hashem for rachamim. You do tshuva. There's always a chance that it will be reversed. Itmarnami Rabbi Yochanan ve Rabbi Elazar, the Amrei Tarvayo, they both said, Afil Cherub Chadam Unechad Atzavro Shel Adam, even if there's a sharp sword over the neck of an individual, Alim Natz Momin Rachamim, don't not ask for mercy from Hashem and do tshuva. Shinamar, because it says, Hein Yiktaleni, Lo Ayachel, he kills me, Lo Achel, I still trust in him. So the Gemara is saying that the Pasuk means that even in the face of death, I still trust in Hashem, and I still put my trust with Hashem, and therefore I'm going to daven to him to save me in this situation. Amar Chanan, afilu bala chalomot omer lo ladam lamachar humet. Even if a dreamer, whether that means miderech nevuah, or some sort of message from Hashem, they say to an individual, you are going to die tomorrow, alim na'atz momen arachamim. You still should ask Hashem for a favor and daven to him to save you, Shneimar. Ki v'rov chalomot v'havalim udvarim harbeh ki et elukim yira. There are many dreams and vanities. Many words are said and many ideas are passed along. Yet, the only thing that matters, et elukim yira, fear God. That even in the face of all the dreams, the only thing that matters is the fear of God. Miyad, so right away, v'yasev yichizkiyo panav lakir. Chizkiyahu turns his face to the wall, v'yitpalel al Hashem. and he davened to Hashem, my kir. What does it mean that he turned his face to the wall? So Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, mikirot libo. From the depths of his heart, from the walls of his heart, Shinemar, may I, ochilo kirot libi. My pain, my anguish, ochilo, I am in tremendous pain, kirot libi. The walls are chambers of my heart moans within me. Levi Amar liske akir. Because of the wall. Amar lefanav ribono shalom, umashu namit shlo asta lekir achat ktana. The Shunamit, Isha Shunamit, who makes a little place for Elisha to stay when she comes by there, she put up one little wall. Hechiyatet bena. You brought her child back to life. Avi Abba, my forefather, Shechipat Eichal Kulo Bekesef Zahav. Shlomo HaMelech, who built the Mikdash and did this unbelievable building for the honor of God. Alchad Kama Kama. Zechar Naat Asher Italachli Lefanecha Be'emet Uvelev Shalem. Remember how I walked before you in truth and a full heart. Vatov be'enecha asiti, and that which is good in your eyes I did. My vatov be'enecha asiti. What does it mean that what's good in your eyes I did? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, shesamach gula l'tfila. That's why it's relevant to our Gemara over here that he was so mekula l'tfila. Rav Levi Amar sheganaz sefer rufuot. He put the sefer book of remedies into geniza. So Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara now quotes a Mishnah from Psachim, which is shisha devarim asach Hizkiyahu Melech. There were six things that Chizkiyahu Melech did. Al Gimel Odolo. Three of them the Chachamim thought was a good idea. Al Gimel Odolo. And the three of them, they thought that he made the wrong judgment or the wrong call. Al Gimel Odolo. And the three that they believed that he did the right thing is Ganaz Sefer Rufuot. He put this book of remedies into Gniza. There is a major machloket HaRishonim with regards to what the Sefer HaRufuot is. The Rambam and some of the other rationalists believe that the Sefer Rufuot was a book of remedies that was not efficacious. It was charlatanry. And therefore he was going to Sefer Rufuot so that people would no longer follow after these improper remedies and they would rather turn to Hashem. The Ramban and others of the Rishonim believed that the Sefer Rufuot was efficacious. The problem was that people were going to the Sefer Rufuot to get cured and not turning to Hashem. They were relying on this book of remedies rather than tshuva in order to have cures or remedy themselves. Therefore he was going to Sefer Rufuot so people would focus more on the relationship with Hashem rather than depending on this book to solve their problems. Behodulo, and they agreed to that. Kitet Nachash Nechoshet, he ground up the copper snake, that was a copper snake made by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, in order to stop the magefa of the snakes. And so the people had begun again to worship it. It is today the sign that is used by doctors for the medical profession. But that Nachash Nechoshet was ground up because people began to worship it as a Vodah Zarah, rather seeing as a means to Hashem. Vahotulu, in all these cases, they agree with him. Girer Atzmot Aviv, he dragged around the bones of his father, Amitash Chalavim, on a bed of ropes. Vahotulu, and again, they were in favor of this. His father was a Rasha, and therefore he didn't bring him to burial b'kavod. He denigrated and was mevazeh his father in order to show that that's what happens to people who do not keep the word of Hashem. There were three that they thought he did not act appropriately in. Satam me gichon velo dulo. He closed up the spring of the gichon, and they did not agree with it. Melech Ashur, the king of Ashur, was coming to lay siege to Yerushalayim. In order to prepare for the siege on Yerushalayim, he covered over the spring, the water that fed the city, Ir David, and the city of Yerushalayim, so that when they came to lay siege, they wouldn't find the water, and the city would still have access to the water. And you can go there today in the Shiloach, you can go to the Chizkiyahu's tunnel. Chizkiyahu's tunnel was dug, and there's writing on the wall that says that it was done during the time of Chizkiyahu Melech, and it shows where they met in the middle. But it brings the water from that spring that existed into the city while covering it to the outside so people lay siege to the city would not know or would not be able to get access to the water. And they did not agree with that position because Hashem told them that there would be no problem, that the siege that was laid to the city would fail and the city would be protected. So it was a lack of emunah for him to do such. Even though in general we say that a person has to act and a person has to do his shtadlut, over here he got a promise from Hashem that he didn't have to worry about it, and yet he still did this. Kitzeitz dalto teichal v'shigram the Melech Ashur. Again, he cut down the doors of the Eichal and sent them to Melech Ashur to placate him, to pay him off so that he would not attack. Lohodulo, I thought it was incorrect as well. Iber Nisan b'Nisan, he made the year into a leap year during Nisan. Lohodulo, and they did not agree with him. Umi lele the Chizkiyahu. Doesn't Chizkiyahu have the pasuk in the Torah? Chodesh Zelechem Rosh Chodeshim. Zeh Nisan v'Nachar Nisan. That only this month is Nisan and no other month is Nisan. You cannot make a leap year during Nisan. Going to make a leap year during Adar prior to Nisan. So if that's the case, how could Chizkiyahu HaMelech go ahead and be Ma'aber and make a leap year in the month of Nisan? Elatah Abed Shmuel, he made a mistake in this din of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel Ma'abri Mita Shana B'Yom Shloshim Shel Adar. On the 30th day of Adar, you do not make it into a leap year. Hol V'roi L'Kovo Nisan. since it could be Nisan, the 30th day, we always know the second day of Rosh Chodesh, could either be the last day of the previous month, or if Edim come, it could be the first day of the next month. So since that day has the potential to be the first day of Nisan, even though it is Adar, we do not make the year into a leap year on that day. He says, we don't say that, that since it has the possibility of Nisan, we don't worry about that, and we do Me'aber Nisan even on the 30th of Adar. If you go and look in the Psukim, in the Navi, it's pretty clear that, or the Pashtut of Psukim, is that they came close to Pesach and they realized that they would not be able to even tahir everything in time, and therefore they postponed Pesach until Pesach Sheni. That has major halachic implications, most of which are against the conclusions of the Gemara with regards to Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, when do we have a Pesach Sheni? And so because of that, the Gemara reinterprets this situation in order to avoid that problem as saying, no, really, this all happened beforehand. And why it says he did it in Nisan, it was because it was a day that had potential to be Nisan, not that he was really in the month of Nisan. Anybody who asks favor from Hashem in his own merit, in the end Hashem grants it to him, but in the merit of others. One who asks for something in the merit of others, in the end they give it to him in his own merit. Moshe asks for Hashem to have rachamim on Bnei Yisrael because of the merit of others. Shnemar zechor l'Avraham l'Yitzchak u'l'Yisrael abadecha. Remember the forefathers in order not to punish Bnei Yisrael. Talu lo b'skut atzmo. In the end, Hashem grants them forgiveness, but because of Moshe. Shnemar v'yomer l'shmidim lulei Moshe b'chiro amad b'peretz l'fanav l'shib kamato mi'ashchit. The pasuk in Tehillim, that is a history of the Jews all the way from the time of the Avot all the way to the time they entered Eretz Yisrael. Over there it says Hashem wanted to destroy Bnei Yisrael because of the Egel. Had it not been for the fact that Moshe stood in the breach in order to stop it, to stop the anger of Hashem. So they attribute the saving of Bnei Yisrael to Moshe, even though when Moshe davened, he has to do it in the merit of the forefathers. On the other hand, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Shetalaz Zuchut Atzmo, he asked Hashem to save him because of his own merit. Zichtiv Zichar Na'at Asher Talachti Lefanecha. Remember how I walked before you, Hashem. Talulo B'Zkut Achirim, Shneamar, the Pasuk continues there, B'Ktiyah La'ir Hazot Lo Shia L'Ma'ani U'L'Man David Avdi. So I will retain or protect this city for my sake and the sake of my servant David. So therefore, David was credited with saving the city in the time of Chizkiyahu Melech, not Chizkiyahu himself. Finally, there, Bishu ben Levi. Damar Bishu ben Levi, my dichtiv. What is it meant by the pasuk? So this is the parak in Yeshayahu that's discussing this story with regards to Chizkiyahu Melech and his doing tshuva. And it says there in pasuk Yitzayin, Inei l'shalom, mar li mar, that even in shalom, even in peace, I had great bitterness. B'tashachta nafshi mishachat blik, but you have loved my soul and saved it from the destruction or death. Yishlachta acharai gevcha kol chatai, because you have thrown all my sins behind your back. So over here, what does it mean that even in peace or even in shalom, I had tremendous bitterness? Shalom. Even in the instance where Hashem in the end says to him, I'm going to save the city and you will live. Marhulo, it was bitter to him because it was saved not in his own merit, but in the merit of David. So now the Gemara goes back and discusses this issue of the Isha Shunamit, who made this special room for Elisha Navi. Asena liat kirktana. So the woman says to her husband, let us make a small wall up in the attic for Elisha. Rabu Shmuel Chadamar liat prua haita. One of them says that it was an attic, but it was not roofed. Vekirua. And then she covered it. She sealed it in. Vekadamar sadra gidola haita. It was like a gazebo, so it was open on the sides. Vekalku alishnaim. And they divided it in half. So they gave him half of it. Bishlam adamadamar sadra aino dichtiv kir. That's why you put up a wall. You put a wall to divide it in half. The man Damar Liyah, the one who says that it was an attic, Maikir. What does it mean they put up a wall? Shikiruha. Not that they put up a wall, but rather that they sealed it in, that they covered it. Bishlam Adamanda Amar Aliyah, Hainu Dikhtiv Aliyat. According to the one who says that it was an attic and they covered it, that's why it says it's upstairs. Elamanda Amar Sadra, that it was some sort of gazebo that they divided in half, Maikir. Ula Shibibatim, they made it into the best of the houses. They gave him a very nice place to stay. V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah, and we'll place for him there a bed, a table, a chair, and a candelabra. Amar Abayi v'item Rabbi Yitzchak rotzei le'anot yanek Elisha, one who wants to benefit from others should benefit like a Elisha. V'she'enu rotzei le'anot al yanek Shmuel. If you don't want to take benefit from others, then be like Shmuel. Aramati shenemar u'tshuvato aramata kisham beito. That Shmuel used to go around to judge Bnei Yisrael, and then he would always return to Ramata where he lived. That's where his house was. Amar Yochanan shkol makom shalach sham beito imo. What does it mean? Kisham beito. Sham beito is that his house was always with him. He took everything he needed along with him, and he never asked for favors from others. So the woman, Isha Shunamit, says to her husband, I know that Elisha is a holy man. The woman has a keener eye in discerning the quality of the guest. Kadoshu, how did she know he was holy? Where did she know that from? That when he ate, he saw no flies came by there. She put out a linen sheet on his bed. And she never saw any seminal emission on it. Kadoshu, and Rabbi Yosi Brenina, who kadosh, mushato eno kadosh. When it says kadosh, who is a miut? That Elisha was kadosh, but his servant, his apprentice, was not kadosh. And that was Gehazi. Gehazi, who helped out Elisha, the Navi is somewhat neutral on his description, but the Gemara takes a very negative view of Gehazi. Obviously, later on, the Navi gets himself into a lot of trouble when he ends up stealing. So based on that, the Gemara now goes back and says all along that Gehazi was a bad apple. So it says, Vayigash Gehazi la'adafa, that when the woman, Isha Shunamit, came up to Elisha after her son had died, she came in and she falls at the feet of Elisha and grabs onto his feet. So Gehazi goes run to push her away. That when he went to push her away, he grabbed her beauty, the glory of her beauty, which is her breasts. So he grabbed her, pushed away in an inappropriate manner, but that was the nature of Gehazi. And again, the Gemara is reading retroactively into all the stories of Gehazi, that which inspires the end, where he ends up stealing and gets cursed and becomes a mitzvah, him and his children. That bad ending, the Gemara now reads into all the actions of Gehazi before that. Over aleinu tamid, Elisha used to pass by us all the time. Amar Yosi ben Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Komerech tamid chacham betoch beito, umehaneu minechasav, malei alav ha-ketuv, kilu makriv tamidim. So that's what it means, over aleinu tamid. Over aleinu tamid literally means that he passes by all the time. So over aleinu tamid is referring to the tamid, the korban tamid. So therefore, someone who takes care of a Talmud Chacham out of his own means, then the Ketuv makes it as if he was Makrive Korban or Makrive Korban Tamid. V'am Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Tziayim Odadam B'makom Gevoa V'yitpalel. Person should stand in a high location and daven. El B'makom Damoch V'yitpalel. Person should stand in a lower location in a depression and daven. Shneamar Mima'amakim Mikiraticha Hashem. I called you out from the depths. So the Pasuk is obviously just an Asmachto, but the idea is true all around, which is a person should not be in a place of haughtiness speaking to Hashem from a position where they feel big and grand. They rather should be in a place where they feel humbled. And then they should call out to Hashem. Person should not stand on top of a chair or on top of a footstool or in a high location. He should be in a lower location. Because there are no heights or haughtiness before God. Shneamar Mimakim Kraticha Hashem. From the depths I called out to you, Hashem. Div filali ani ki atof lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. The prayer of the one who is poor, afflicted, and when he faints and pours out his words, his complaints before Hashem. So you see that it's appropriate to approach Hashem when you're an ani, when you're impoverished, or when you are humble. That Hashem listens to the tefillah of the ani, the poor person, or the one who is humble. So that is the minhag in most shuls to by the amud, to have the floor by the Amud go down a little bit, and to be a depression, so that we mimakim kratich Hashem, we call you out from the depths. I'm Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Hamitpalel tzarich shikaven et raglav. Person who davens has to daven with his feet together. Shneamar, because it says in Yechezkel, when it's describing the malachim, they have raglehem, yiragli yishara, that their legs are like one straight leg. Now this is the minhag that we have, that when it comes to davening of Shmoneh Esrei, we put our feet together, so that as we approach Hashem, we should be like the Malachim. Why? So the Rabbeinu Bechaya on the Torah in Parshat Korach, Perek Tet Zayin Pasuk of Bet, there he says, V'hinei ha'umot marim ha'kavana zot, b'kivun ha'yadayim b'vakashat ta'achnunim, v'hein atzman en yodim lama hurgulu b'kach, v'atam b'zehu l'harot b'tul koach atzmo k'ilu yadav asurot, v'hu moser oto l'mi sh'mitchanen alav. Sin has a very beautiful parish. She starts out describing many of the nations of the world when they go to pray and they go to daven, they clasp their hands together and they supplicate before Hashem. And he says, they don't even know why they're doing that. They do that when they daven, but they have no idea why they do it. So he says, let me explain to you why they do it, and then I'll explain to you why we put our feet together. Says the reason that they put their hands together is if to show that we have no action before Hashem. Our hands, our arms, are our ability to act and to do. So when we put our hands together, it's as if we are indicating that we have no ability to act before Hashem. It's an act of submission before Hashem when we put our hands together. So in that, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that's true of the hands, but it's even more true of the legs. That a person's legs are what carry him and move him around, make him mobile, make him able to do what he needs to do. And therefore, the ability to walk is an indication of man's ability to act and to do. So if you put your feet together, the way like you clasp your hands, if you put your feet together and you no longer are walking, that's a greater act of submission before Hashem. That says we have no ability to act before you, Hashem, without your command and without your approval. And that's why we stand with our feet together. And for the same reason, the Malachim have only one leg. The Malachim have no ability to act independently of Hashem. They can only do what the Tzivoy Hashem is. So someone can only act with the Tzivoy Hashem only has one leg. Someone who has two legs is someone who has independence in their ability to act. But when we come before Hashem, we try to show our submission by putting our feet together and acting in a manner that shows that we are not mobile, we're not independent of Hashem. From Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, see another memra from them, Dichtiv lo tochlu al adam, you may not eat while the dam is still there. Now, the Gemara here dashes on this pasuk numerous limudim. It is what we call lav shebichlalot, a lav that has many different interpretations and manifestations. One of those is what the Gemara says here, lo tochlu kodem shetipalu al dimchem. You may not eat until you have davened for your life. In lo tochlu, don't eat al adam before you have taken care of your life. Your life is dependent on Hashem. You must daven first and then only eat. And from this is the restriction to eat before davening, that it's inappropriate to eat before davening. It's a sign of haughtiness. It is a sign of thinking that your life or sustenance is in your own hands and not in the hands of Hashem. The proper way to do it is to first daven and then to eat. Obviously, the poskim bring down certain instances where there are dispensations to eat or to drink beforehand, at what levels and how much. All of that is found in Halacha. But in the general principle, one should not eat or consume anything before they daven. A person who eats, drinks, and then goes to daven,
you threw me behind your goof, behind your body.
Don't read as gavecha meaning goof,
your haughtiness.
After he takes care of himself, after he pampers himself, then he comes to daven before me and be mekabel malchut shemayim. It's wrong. That's the wrong order. First you're mekabel malchut shemayim, then only afterwards do you take care of your own needs.
Rabbishua Omer ad gimel sha'ot.
Rabbishua says you can say kriyat shema until the third hour of the day. Amri Yudah Mashmo locha ki Rabbi Yeshua. The locha here is like Rabbi Yeshua. Remind you that Tosafot says back before that when Shmuel says that the din is to daven kriyat shema kivatikin, so it sounds like the locha is that you must daven kriyat shema before sunrise, and that's it. That's the Zman is over. So Tosafot points out over here that Shmuel is the Bala Memra over here. That Shmuel also over here is Halachic Rabbi Yeshua. So even those who hold that the most appropriate time to say Kriyat Shema is Kivatikin still believe that you can say Kriyat Shema Ad Shalosh Shaot if you don't say Kivatikin. And that is borne out by the fact that Shmuel is the Bal Memra in both of these instances. If you read the Kriyat Shema after that point, you don't lose out. You can't say the Bracha of Yotzer Or. Meitave, is that true? Hakore mikam veilech lo ipsid, kadam shu kore betorah. Aval mevarechu, shtaim lefenecha v'chate achareah. Wait a minute. When we read after that point in time, after the 3 hours, he can make the two brachot beforehand and the one bracha afterwards. He just loses out on terms of the mitzvah of kriyat shema, and that's kikore betorah. But what do you see from that? That you can break the brachot. Tiyufta de Rav Chista, tiyufta. This is a strong refutation of the position of Rav Chista. Ikadam ya Rav Chista, mamar ukva, mai lo ipsid. They reworked that position of Rav Chista to say, now, what does it mean that he doesn't lose out? He doesn't lose out the brachot, and that would accord with the brayta that we just quoted. Tani Rami Ochi, we have a brayta that supports that. Now the brayta becomes a proof to him rather than a refutation. Reading Kriyat Shema in its proper time is even greater than learning Torah. Someone who reads from that point forward is he hasn't lost out. It's like he's learning Torah. Michlau, the Korei Bonota Adif. That someone who reads Kriyat Shema in its proper time is even better than learning Torah. Now that's not an obvious inference from the statement over here. All it's saying is afterwards you are not losing out because it's like you're learning Torah. It's not coming to draw a comparison between doing the mitzvah in its proper time and learning of Torah. And Tosafot points that out. He says, Tema, afilu tefilanami. Even by Shemoneh Esrei, you should say the same thing. That we interrupt our learning, whether it's for Kriyat Shema or whether it's for davening. So that would should say that both davening and Kriyat Shema are greater than learning of Torah. Not when we're in competition. The question is not here,
If you're in competition between learning Torah and saying Kriyat Shema, better to read Kriyat Shema than learn Torah. But rather, it's when you learn it at a different time, saying Kriyat Shema Bonata has a greater value or mitzvah than when you learn Torah at a different time. But when it comes to competition and you're learning Torah, you have to stop your learning of Torah in order to read Kriyat Shema and in order to daven and to say Shemon Esrei. The Gemara in Shabbat discusses those that are Toratan and Munatan, those whose Torah is their whole life, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They only interrupted for Kriyat Shema, but not for Shemon Esrei. But we, who we don't have that status of Toratan and Munatan, we interrupt our learning both for Kriyat Shema and for Tefillah. So in terms of competition, that's obvious that everything overrides Limud Torah. But when here we're talking about which is a greater mitzvah, that's when you're talking about them in discrete positions. If the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema by itself and the mitzvah of Limud Torah by itself, reading Kriyat Shema B'Onatah is greater than the Limud Torah. That we don't say about Shemon Esrei. And with that, we'll end.